That's how God's word vaults across the skies from sunrise to sunset, melting ice, scorching deserts, warming hearts to faith. The revelation of God is whole and pulls our lives together. The signposts of God are clear and point out the right road. The life maps of God are right, showing the way to joy. The directions of God are plain and easy on the eyes. God's reputation is 24 karat gold with a lifetime guarantee. The decisions of God are accurate down to the nth degree.
Our scripture reading this morning, and now something is going to become very obvious when we read this. First of all, we're going to read from Philippians, and you will see that our entire reading is sort of bubbling with joy. And then we'll go to the Hebrew Testament, Psalm 137, and then you will see there's a different tone, a different tenor. In both instances, the Philippians and the Jews of centuries ago were in similar circumstances, and see how they respond in Scripture. Philippians 4, verses 4 through 9. Celebrate God all day. Every day I mean, revel in Him. Make it as clear as you can to all you meet that you're on their side, working with them and not against them. Help them see that the Master is about to arrive. He could show up any minute. Don't fret or worry. Instead of worrying, pray. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers, letting God know your concerns. And before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. It's wonderful what happens when Christ displaces worry at the center of your life. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. Put into practice what you learned from me, what you heard and saw and realized. Do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into His most excellent harmonies. That's from the letter to the Philippians. Psalm 137, the first four verses. Alongside Babylon's rivers, we sat on the banks. We cried and cried, remembering the good old days in Zion. Alongside the quaking aspens, we stacked our unplayed harps. That's where our captors demanded songs, sarcastic and mocking. Sing us a happy Zion song. Oh, how could we ever sing God's song in this wasteland? Here ends our scripture reading. You can clearly see the different tones, the different tenors between the two scripture readings. A positive attitude always makes the difference. I want to tell you the story about the father who bragged to his son about what a great hunter he was. So the kid went with his father on the next hunting trip to see this great hunter, his father, in action. So they sat in the duck blind for a time, when one lonely waterfowl winged its way through the sky. So the father took aim, fired, and missed. Son, he said, you've just witnessed a miracle. There flies a dead duck. Now the Hebrew Testament tells of a time when the Israelites were so completely down in the dumps that they even refused to sing the songs of hope and joy that used to live their spirits while still in Jerusalem, their holy city. Now they were weeping instead. How could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? It was during a time that they were far from home as slaves in a foreign land, captives in Babylon. And their captors wanted them to sing their songs. And as we know, most of their songs were songs of hope and joy. However, they no longer wanted to. How could they? They were longing for Jerusalem, for their temple, for the return to their country. And this is how the Bible says, how could we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? The only song they had left was one of despair. Now, what does our Christian faith teach about being down in the dumps? I think all of us know what it means. It's not easy to be down in the dumps. Just a few hours ago, I stood beside a hospice bed and spoke words, seeking words. What do you say? Until she said to me, "You know what? I see light. I see light." It touched me to the core. The Bible says, reshape your worries into prayers. And what will then happen? So Paul is actually sharing the secret of prayer with the Philippians and with us. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayer. This is so beautifully said. Let petitions and praises shape your worries into prayers. Letting God know your concerns, and before you know it, a sense of God's wholeness, everything coming together for good, will come and settle you down. Now you can say that's easier said than done. Did Paul, the guy who wrote all this, did he practice what he preached? Let's give him the scripture test. Of course he did, in dramatic fashion. Paul and Silas ended up in a prison after a severe flogging. What did they do? Did they refuse to sing the Lord's song? Oh no, to the contrary. The Bible says, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Now there's an attitude. He could write this letter because he practiced what he preached. God's presence and God's wholeness settled them down, enabling them to overcome and to complete their mission, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ even to the ends of the world. Well, today, as we do annually on the first Sunday in October, we are celebrating the Lord's Supper, but the October communion is always special for us because it's part of World Communion Sunday across the world. And people are celebrating this World Communion Sunday in many languages to the ends of the earth. We are not alone. We are this very moment, united with God's people across the world. And let me tell you, but I think you know for yourself, there is indeed a need for countless millions longing for consolation, to be healed, and just to be whole again. There is so much pain. There is so much suffering across the world that we as Americans here cannot just keep on ignoring it and say, oh, well, America first, and we'll think about the rest later. God's people across the world are suffering in many different places, in many different ways. But also here, also in America. Yes, we know the history. Yes, we have much to be thankful for. Yes, compared with what's happening with others across the world, we really don't have much reason to complain. But that's not really true. It might be a global truth. But wait till you walk the corridors of our hospitals, of our nursing homes. When you begin visiting them at home, here, elsewhere, then we need to understand, and sometimes difficult to grasp it, what a privilege you and I have just to be able to come to church this morning, singing praises to God, seeking to strengthen our faith. Why? For our own selfish purposes? Oh yes, but much, much more. To enable us, to call us, to send us to those who need us most. It's very easy to talk Christian. I've known specialists that can speak Christian like very few others. But they just speak it, they never do it. We are a nation struck with uncertainty. There are deep, deep financial concerns also with people in church this morning across our nation. We see and we notice the ferocity of international terrorism. We know what happened during the past week. We've been tracking hurricanes. And you know, I catch myself time and time again when I watch TV and they show you the hurricanes. The moment when it turns, whew, then my worries are over. And how little time we spare. I'm thinking of Irene. After we thanked God locally, oh, it missed us. We saw the misery. So while tracking hurricanes, we need to go with the news and be there when they call. So many things happening in our times are sensitizing us anew for the suffering and pain of others. And here in our very church are so many people. You know, it's difficult to stay long in one church. Cocoa Beach Community Church is the one that I've been longer than any other church that I served across the world, different countries. And it's not always good. Because one tends to think, well, 10 years ago I stood in this very same place. And half of them are gone. Now that's normal. I don't want it differently. That's what happens in life. But the problem is we get so attached, so thankful, so grateful. And it is often as if those who sat faithfully in these pews are urging us on to continue the journey, to run the race. Some time ago, I read a report of a mission team that went to Guatemala. Touched me deeply. A member of the team came back and said, "You know what? It's horrible over there. But in the face of a mother, I saw all the poverty and hardship of Guatemala. But you know what? In the singing of a little boy, I heard a song of hope." See, that's what this sermon is all about. That's the Lord's song. The Lord's song is a song of hope. You can sing it wherever you are, whatever your circumstances. You can sing it in the midst of poverty. You can sing it during the hardship of long hours of labor that you need to do and have no option. You can sing it at night when you hold your children to your bosom, not knowing how you will feed them tomorrow. And the mission team reported that the people of Guatemala, though poor, laugh a lot. They carry peace within their hearts and lives, for despite their hardships, many of them had learned how to sing the Lord's song. And all across the world, there are refugees who move from place to place in fear of their lives. But one thing nobody can take from them is their personal faith and the reality that God is near and that they can just open their hearts to sense God and to hear God's loving voice. No matter where they go, we can still sing to the Lord a song of hope. One thing that I remember from days in the Netherlands is the little chaff finches that so many people have in their homes. You know how small the little homes are? Just think about it. She had 7 people in an 84 square meter house for 5 years. And just try that with growing children and so on. So life can be very tight, specifically in our experience there in the Netherlands. But then often you would come into the little homes and you would hear the little birds, the chaff finches, sing. Many, many homes. But that's where I really heard the story. It's chaff finch is the size of a little robin. It has a beautiful song. And that's why people keep them in their homes to twitter and to sing. But then they also have a peculiar characteristic. They sometimes forget how to sing. I repeat, they sometimes forget how to sing. And then they have to go back into the woods where the wild birds sing in order to be retaught. It's not just a story. I've seen members of our congregation there that would tell you they take the little cage and they walk into the woods where the birds sing, so that the little bird can be reminded of the song that it used to sing, to be retaught how to sing. And if the little chaff finches do not learn how to sing again, they actually become depressed and die. Tells me something about us. If we forget how to sing the Lord's song, man, it would be mighty dark in us and around us. Do we still sing the Lord's song deep within our hearts So I want to tell you this morning, if your songs of hope and joy are only memories of the past, it is time, it is time, it is time to sing again to the honor and glory of our God. World Communion, Worldwide Communion has a message. It has a message of hope and love as we unite around this table and get linked into with tables across the world where the Lord's songs are still being sung, not only America, but to the ends of earth. The bread and wine are broken and poured because of eternal love for you and for me. So let us turn our silence into songs of hope, life, and contemplate a future with God. So come now, let this table prepared with bread and wine, so close to the essence of our faith, lift our spirits and inspire us again this morning to sing God's songs of hope and joy. And let our fear and unrest turn into songs for the future. Songs of life and love and service. Yes, indeed, we remember what you said, Lord, every time when we celebrate. We shall know for sure you are with us. Even this very moment. Amen.